helping you get to the back end of the work week. Welcome to the Hump Show on After Hours.
We get to the top of this mountain, we get to the middle point of the work week, and then at least we can see what's downhill in front of us, and we can start to cruise down that mountain.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is?
This is the point at which we're not quite anticipating the weekend, or maybe we are, but it feels like it's going to take forever.
Everybody's working for the weekend.
Guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Getting you to the good half of your week. It's the Hump Show on After Hours.
Dead center of the work week. So glad to have you with us. Thanks for hanging out. It makes it a little bit easier to get through these hours. I know many of you saw my post on Twix from about 24 hours ago where a listener asked whether or not we had found a producer, and I said no. And then another listener asked why so many producers had left the show, maybe thinking that it was me, which is all right. I'm okay with taking that. But yeah, it's one of those phenomena, I should say, of working late nights in either radio or TV, late nights and weekends, right? Where not everyone is in the same position as me, meaning I'm the host and it's my career trajectory. And I love being a night owl. I love being on after the games. For a lot of producers who are using this shift as their first full-time job or a way that they break into the business or network radio, they don't all have the same aspirations as I do. And I won't even go into all the nuanced reasons why this has been the right move for my career for the last 12 years. I've chosen to stay here on nights. But a lot of the producers, as I say, they're coming in. It's their first full-time job producing. Or some of them would prefer to be on air. And so when another opportunity comes up, they leave for that. You've also got what I tell you all the time, people don't believe me, that in radio, the hours are really hard and the money stinks a lot of the times. I mean, for heaven's sakes, I had to work 2 and 3 jobs when I was first in the business just so that I could pay bills and make ends meet. And a lot of people who first get into this business, that's the same position that they are in. And it can be really difficult to do that on a salary here in New York City, which is where we are located. So tough stuff. A lot of people that I started with at Syracuse, my grad class, as I was coming out, a lot of those people, after a couple of years, got out of the business and went to do something else. So that's not uncommon either. So there's a lot of reasons why, and here we are searching for a new producer, and what they tell me is it'll be sometime about the third week in August. That's all I know, but I do appreciate that so many of you have been supportive and encouraging of the show. It's obviously not the show that I'm used to or that I would like to do. We've had to trim a bunch of elements and kind of strip it down a bunch because it's a lot of different guys who are filling in who are not familiar with the routine, and I can't overload them and ask them to do a bunch of stuff because that would be detrimental. And I can't do it all myself. I'm doing a lot of it, but I can't do it all myself. So thank you for bearing with us. I know, again, it's not the show maybe that some of you are used to. We've really stripped out a lot of the features and some of the elements. I'm just happy if we can get through a show without blowing anything up and having a CrowdStrike Microsoft computer crash. Oh, even getting guests on the air. I mean, that's another challenge too, if you're talking about producers that don't generally work on the show. So there's a lot that we're navigating. And yet ultimately at the end of the day or at the beginning of the day, whichever it happens to be, as soon as I turn on the microphone, that joy is still there. And that joy gives me strength and helps me to get through it. And just, I go back to what one of my former bosses said about the bells and whistles and the features and all the extra trimmings that we might use. Consider them hors d'oeuvres, consider them dessert, whatever it is, if you want to use the food analogy. Ultimately, people show up to hear me talk And as long as I'm doing that well and I'm sticking to the basics as I know them and as I've been doing them for about 25 years now, although not nearly as good when I first started. That's so true. I am glad that there exist no recordings of me when I first began my radio career. But ultimately, you're showing up for the connection, for the companionship, for the sports talk, for that part of your night or day, depending upon when you tune in which this is your routine too. So I love that. And ultimately that's what we're doing. And I do know that we'll find a producer at some point. It's not like this is the first time. I think this actually will be producer number 10, the next one that's on the show. So in 12 years of working here at the network, this will be full-time producer or lead producer number 10. I just tell them, if you give me everything you got, as long as you're here, I'll turn you into a world-class producer, and then you can go find a different show, find a different network, find a different gig, whatever it is that you want to do. But I promise to teach you everything I know as long as you are here. So that's what I will do. It is my promise. On Twix, A-Law Radio, on our Facebook page too, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Got a few minutes left, about 30 minutes until we get to our next edition of Ask Amy Anything. And I know I can trust Manny because he's done it before. He's meticulous in writing out his questions. He's writing out his questions. Would you say that you are fully armed and dangerous at this point?
Oh, big time.
Okay.
Big time. Cannot walk through an airport right now.
You would get flagged by the metal detectors.
Oh, by the metal detectors. Please, TSA will be on me.
But I need you to just make sure you go back and you check to see if there are any last-minute stragglers that are terrific.
Oh, stragglers are also being taken into consideration.
Okay, cool. All right, so Manny will be checking, again, whether it's Twix or whether it's Facebook. You have about 30 minutes to go before we get to Ask Amy Anything. We have talked about baseball's trade deadline. If you missed my conversation with Mari Brown in Portland, he's with Forbes, a really great insight to the business side of baseball, as well as covering what's happening on the field. So good stuff from him. It'll be part of our podcast, of course. And if you're looking for the link, well, it's pinned to the top of our Facebook page, or you can just search for it online. That's actually how I do it. Well, except for this week, because Manny's good enough to send me the links in an email every morning. Thank you, Manny. Before I go to bed, we've already got the podcast up and available for you. And trust me, when it's not done right, I know, because I get all kinds of messages online. Hey, where's the podcast? Hour number two is missing. Hour number three doesn't have everything I'm looking for. La, 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 la. And so you guys are on it when it comes to the podcast. So we're at least maintaining that standard. And so it's good. Like I said, it's good to hear from so many of you. I appreciate your support, your kind words, your encouragement. And we'll get right side up before football begins. Football. Football is nearly here. Do you know we are closing in on the Hall of Fame game? We're inside of 48 hours until the Hall of Fame game. Now, I don't know how many of the athletes that are on the field you will actually know. That part I don't know. It is likely to be sparse in terms of those guys who will be starters or will be playing on a regular basis. But I do know that football is still football. Even if it's fake football for a couple of minutes, it's still football. What we're finding out now is that the Bears starters, including Caleb Williams, will not play in the Hall of Fame game. So he will have to wait another week at least to make his debut in the preseason. So that came from Coach Matt Eberflus on Tuesday. Instead, it's Tyson Bagent. Remember him? Tyson Bagent will start for the Bears against the Texans. I'm so happy for Tyson Bagent out of Shepherd College. Remember, he's a Division II guy, and he had to step in and was pressed into duty last year. And he was fearless. That was the part that was so great. So the Bears will not use their starters. And we don't actually know yet whether or not we'll see Caleb Williams against Buffalo. That's their second preseason game. And it's not for another 10 days, right? So they have a big gap between their first and second preseason games. However, we will see him at some point, I'm sure, because he needs to get out there and get his feet wet just to get the speed against a defense that is not his own. Lamar Jackson, he is back in camp for the Ravens this week after being ill. He missed a few practices, but I feel like his enthusiasm is contagious, as always. So the sickness is behind him, and he's full speed ahead.
I mean, just because I was down, I'm still locked in. You know, I know what time is it right now. You know, it's camp time, you know, so with me going down for a couple of days, my mind was still in it. Like, I got to hurry up and get better so I can be out with my guys.
I'm such a big fan of him and his personality. He's so authentic. He's just real. Nothing fake about the guy.
My favorite Lamar quote was, thank you, Miss Lisa, to Lisa Salters. Always says goodbye to to Lisa Salters by saying Miss Lisa.
Thank you, Miss Lisa. That's what my fourth and fifth graders call me Miss Amy in class on Sundays. So, yeah, it's pretty cute. But my Syracuse students, I would be fine with Amy.
Professor?
No, they have to call me Professor Lawrence. They are not allowed to call me anything else. That's mandated by the boss. And I was actually on a Zoom call with them last week, the incoming grad class. And so I was just kind of introducing myself and talking a little bit about what I do, but also what the class is about, to kind of drum up people who want to take my class in the spring. And yeah, I had to remember not to call myself Amy, but to call myself Professor Lawrence, which still at times makes me involuntarily roll my eyes.
Can I call you that?
No. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. As for Lamar, people still asking him, how are you feeling? How are you feeling? Are you sure you're good to go?
Feeling wonderful, man. Good to be back out with my guys, back with the coaching staff. Good to be back in August, man. Football season.
I'm feeling wonderful. Next time someone asks me, I'm going to say, I'm feeling wonderful.
Feeling wonderful, man.
And then he said, did you hear it? It's August. It's football season.
Football season.
It's August. It's football season. Well, let's not jump the gun. It isn't August yet, but man, it is right around the corner. So happy last day of July.
If I'm feeling wonderful, man.
Waking up on July 31st on my to-do list for this Wednesday, July 31st, pay the water bill, pay the mortgage. Kind of overlapping, though, because we don't get paid until Friday.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't write a check for my mortgage, but if I did, I would be wanting the checks to cross in the mail. But yeah, I do still write checks. I might be the only person on my island, but I still write checks for some bills, like my water bill, actually. I drop it off in the town box and I write a check. I don't think I want to be giving the town any type of credit card, but they don't do the automatic debit or whatever that is. And I actually don't do that either. So I do write a check for different bills, just not my mortgage. That one goes directly to the bank, but that's coming up. It's coming up. So as much as it's exciting, happy August, it's football season. Oh yeah, the bills are due. Somebody's got to get paid again. Travis Kelce, he's not a rookie. This is not his first rodeo. He's been around for a long time now. He's kind of an old dude. But camp, still something that he finds value in.
This is my sanctuary, baby. St. Joe, year 12. That means I've spent just about an entire year of my life up here in the dorms, man. It's everybody may see that as pretty pretty grueling, but I enjoy it, man. There's something about this place that gets you ready every single year, and I'm not gonna lie, got pretty excited as the time started counting down to get out here and get this thing rolling. It's where it all starts. You can say it starts in the off season, and yeah, you wanna get that foundation set in the off season of the leadership and the mentality and things like that. But at the end of the day, this is where you really find out what the team is made of, how you sharpen the iron, how you guys practice, your practice habits, the attention to detail, you know, and nobody does it better than Coach Reed and Coach Spags, man.
Who knew Cupid was so big?
Oh my gosh. Jason Kelce and his wife are at the Olympics, and they were in the house, in the arena, as Team USA was capturing gold in women's gymnastics on Tuesday. I got to say, though, as much as Jason Kelce is fairly close to being a household name, I would think that he'd probably survive on that for a few years. I mean, he's definitely a Hall of Famer. We'll see him in the Hall of Fame, I think.
I mean, yes. If Jason Kelce was walking down the street of Philadelphia, New York City, Los Angeles, he'll probably get... Do you think he's getting stopped in Paris, though?
No. I was going to say, as celebrities go... Sorry, I kind of got off on a tangent there. As celebrities go, he's not even remotely on the list of top tens there in the arena last night.
Not
forget
Tom Cruise.
Yeah, right. And actually, they did not show Tom Cruise last night. He was in the Olympics arena. So he was there when they were qualifying. I'm not sure if he's still there, but I did see him earlier in the week. But we're talking Nicole Kidman. We're talking Natalie Portman. Don't be making that face. She was all into it. Hoda Kotb and Savannah Guthrie. They were there. Michael Phelps was filming everything. He had his wife and his baby next to him.
I'm making faces because compared to all those people, you know, Travis Kelce is probably saying Jason Kelce.
Who the f*** is that guy?
Right. So he is not A-list when compared to some of these others who were in-house. I mean, this was a huge draw. Spike Lee made his way from basketball over to the gymnastics arena. But still, with my apologies to all of those incredible household names, so good at what they do, richly rewarded. Oh, Bill Gates was there. What really captivates my attention and gets me all the feels is the families. It's awesome. So we're talking about football. The Bears gave Jonathan Owens permission. So I don't think he'll be back for the Hall of Fame game. They gave him permission to be in Paris for the all-around final, which comes up on Thursday, and then this team final, which was on Tuesday. So he's only there for a short time. He's just kind of in and out, and yet it was so neat to see him keeping score in the stands next to Simone's parents. And then as I mentioned this to you last night, we were talking about the men's team and the reunions with their families after they had won gold. Oh, sorry, bronze. The women won the gold. So after they had won their medal, same thing with the women, where the cameras followed the women out to the area where they would reunite with their families. And it was amazing. Oh my gosh. Not only Simone and her parents and her husband and other family members, but Jade Carey's parents. I got to say my favorite were Jordan Chiles' parents. So Jordan's dad, he is awesome. That's clearly where she gets his energy. He's pounding his chest. They've got him mic'd up. And so when she was, I think it was... It wasn't balance beam. I think it was the uneven bars where he was yelling, "Stick like butter! Stick like butter!" It was awesome. And then Suni Lee's sisters were there. I mean, that's my favorite part, is seeing the reaction of the families and the friends who are just as invested. There was one long-distance swimmer for Team USA. He won silver. I think it was the 800-meter freestyle. But his sister, who couldn't be there, was on a Zoom call with NBC and watching. So they have the video on her. She does an interview in the middle of the race because it's so long. And then they connect sister and brother after he's got his silver medal and he's being interviewed by NBC. So it's just really neat, the power of media and the power of technology that connects these families. But the best is when they can be there and they're sharing in these incredible moments and memories with their loved ones. And in a lot of cases, they're still kids, right? They're still kids. Hesley Rivera is a 16-year-old. Simone, as much as she's elder stateswoman, I mean, she's 27, but she's still young, right? Both my nieces are about that same age. So I love the family reactions. That part is amazing. Okay, you got a couple of minutes to go. At Amy After Hours, then on our Facebook page, let's hope somehow that the algorithm deposits our show in your feed. 50 different posts that had nothing to do with me. 50. And I just gave up counting after that. Seriously, that's what's happening now. It's full of ads. And I don't know, maybe it's just me. Manny, have you ever actually clicked on an ad that you've seen on Facebook?
Well, not on Facebook because I'm not on that website. But I mean, I've...
You're not on Snapface?
No, I'm not on that one. But I've accidentally fat fingered and hit links on the on Elon's machine.
Elon's machine, Twix.
Yeah, that one. Yeah,
Twix.
Yeah, 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 absolutely. A couple of times I fat fingered a couple of tweets.
But not on purpose.
No.
My question is on purpose. Have you actually bought anything that you've seen an ad for on social media?
No.
To me, all it is noise. Yeah. I just want it to go away. But apparently that's how these sites monetize. So yeah, it's kind of crazy because I've never once, but 50, I mean, I stopped counting at 50.
Oh, that's when you stopped counting.
Yeah, there was not one post from a friend, from a family member, from anyone that I actually follow personally.
I would have stopped counting after 5.
Yeah, seriously, I just want to get rid of the app, but we can't.
We can't, not in this business.
Yeah, we can't. We got to have it. Okay, coming up, let's see. Do I want to do more football? Actually, we'll do a little more baseball. And
football season.
Lamar would prefer that we do football since it's football season. We'll do a little more baseball. And if you missed that conversation about the trade deadline, the Dodgers, the Padres, the Pirates, Yankees, Orioles, Royals. We talked a lot of different teams and a lot of different potential impacts. So you check that out on our podcast. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Swung on, hit well. Deep to left field. Gino Suarez gives the Diamondbacks a 2-0 lead. Swung on, that is crushed. Deep to left field. It's a two-homer game. Gino Suarez into the second deck it goes. And the Diamondbacks lead by a dozen. Swung on, hit well. Could it be 3? Going back, call to the track. It is gone! Run game, Eugenio Suarez. It's his night to remember, and it's 14-0 Diamondbacks.
Here's Amy Lawrence.
What a night. What a night for Suarez. The call's there on the Diamondbacks radio network. The third baseman goes 4-for-6 with 3 dingers, 4 runs scored, and 5 RBI. So really a real show. Against the Nationals in the desert. I know a lot of teams beat up on the Nationals, but really cool to see him take advantage of some pitches that he liked and clobber them. So the Diamondbacks, the Padres, right now are hanging around, certainly part of the wild card race, but in the National League West, and we've got Dodgers, Padres that are playing this week. Yeah, they're within 6 games of the Dodgers, who just made the move for Jack Flaherty. And if you didn't see the news, the Yankees did, seem to be the team who was going to acquire Flaherty from the Tigers. But at the last second, or maybe that's hyperbole, closer to the deadline, they actually bowed out because of medical concerns. So that's been reported now by Ken Rosenthal and others. We talked about it with Maury Brown. Appears to be maybe a back issue that was scaring away the Yankees. But the Dodgers decided that they would go ahead and make that move to shore up the rotation. Now, according to Dave Roberts, he will not start on Wednesday. In fact, they're still trying to figure out how quickly he joins them and when and how they're going to use him. But Clayton Kershaw is slated to start on Wednesday, and Dave Roberts says they will stick with him. And so they bring in a bat. They also bring in Flaherty. The Padres get Tanner Scott, who is probably the best reliever that was available, which is interesting. According to Maury Brown, our guest, he was kind of surprised the Padres didn't look for a starting pitcher, but there really wasn't a ton available in terms of quality starters. Flaherty was kind of the one that was held up as the best option. So we'll see how these moves pan out. Meanwhile, for the Yankees, as much as they did not get Jack Flaherty, they certainly love the addition that they've made in Jazz Chisholm, which went back to last weekend. And yeah, he is continued to be on fire, especially now against the Phillies.
Strom's pitch is swung on, hit deep to right. Back goes Castellanos at the wall. Oh, baby, another one. Adios, amigo. Smooth Jazz does it again. His 4th home run of the series. Jazz Chisholm Jr. is a Bronx bomber from the Bahamas. And he puts the Yankees on top 5-4. Swung on and hit in the air to medium deep center field. Rojas makes the catch. Here comes Wells. Here comes the throw. It's cut off. They're going to throw to second, and they get Jazz, who tried to get to second. The run scores on a sac fly. Tonkin's pitch. Swung on and missed. He got him. The ball game is over. Michael Tompkins strikes out Real Muto and Wilson. And ladies and gentlemen, after 12 innings, oh, I can smell another victory for the New York Yankees with the final score tonight in extras of 7-6. Oh, what a ball game here tonight.
Ricky Ricardo, who has got to be in the running for the full-time gig. He's been doing Yankees games in Espanol for years.
Oh, yeah, he has.
And has certainly filled in when John Sterling has been out. Actually, I think my favorite Ricky Ricardo story is when he saved John Sterling's life during Hurricane Ida. Remember that? It was July of 21, right? And Sterling's car was flooded. He was just over the George Washington Bridge. For those of you who don't know, it goes over the Hudson River at the north end of Manhattan.
North Jersey, yep.
And he was stuck trying to get home, and Ricardo drove to him and fished him out of his car and took him home.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, John's car is a little bit lower and Ricky's car is a little bit higher. So when John got stuck, Ricky, they both apparently live in North Jersey. So Ricky came to the rescue, apparently as a higher car.
They left Sterling's car there. As there were thousands of vehicles that were abandoned in the flooding of Hurricane Ida. And I remember we had Ricardo on the air right after that, and he actually told the story of saving John Sterling. So they've been friends for a long time, and we digress. Yankees come up with another win, so they are keeping pace with the Orioles there in the AL East. This one in extras against the Phillies, and right now, a lot of Philly fans complaining about Bryce Harper. Not that he isn't a great player, but he's been MIA a bit lately, including last night where he goes 0 for 5 with a couple of Ks. Aaron Judge, 3 for 4 again, walked a couple of times. Chisholm, 3 for 6 with 5 RBI. He just continues to churn out production.
He's batting .400 since being traded to the Yankees, and I do believe he also has 8 ribbies in that time.
And 4 home runs now, as we hear. Yes, with baby. Ricardo. In case you hadn't heard or noticed, Manny is a huge Yankees fan. Though, weirdly enough, he was wearing a Phillies hat the other night.
Here we go again.
We still don't really understand why. So, yes, Yankees getting to Nola, kind of a couple of runs, but really more about the bullpen for the Phillies. And it's too early to scoreboard watch, only to say that the Yankees love the addition that they've made with Jazz Chisholm, and he's certainly providing a spark for their offense right now while they wait for the rest of the dudes to kind of catch up.
And you know, it's also somewhat interesting because Mark Leiter Jr. got traded to the Yankees today, got to the ballpark, I think, right before first pitch, if I'm not mistaken, came in the 10th inning, came into the game. I don't know if it was in the 10th inning. He came in the game, 10th inning, shutout inning, did his job. Imagine, Amy, we spoke about that not too long ago. Wake up one day, you're pitching, and then, you know, next thing you notice, you go to the ballpark. Hey, you've been traded to the Yankees. Now I'm in Philadelphia pitching in the 10th inning when I woke up in Chicago.
It's crazy, right?
Oh, man, trading deadline.
Yeah, it's a little bit chaotic and hectic this time of the year, and guys are on edge. Clubhouses are on edge if they know that their teams are going to be sellers. Imagine what it was like to be part of that Rays or White Sox clubhouses the last couple of days. Oh, man, the memes out there with the White Sox clubhouse. Oh, goodness. You should check them out. There's one where, he's a TV character from the 80s. He's looking around. It's an empty, like all the furniture's gone. That's right. It's the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. And so they're really making fun of the White Sox hard, which they kind of deserve. But imagine what it's like to be a Ray. You're above 500. You've got all this great talent, and now it's just been dispersed around Major League Baseball.
A Marlin, too. They made the playoffs last year, and you take a look at the roster, their playoff roster from last year, you take a look at the roster now. Yeah. They've gutted that team, too.
It's tough. It's a tough business, and it is absolutely a business. Okay. Online at Amy After Hours on our Facebook page. You got a couple of minutes left to try to entice Manny with your questions for Ask Amy Anything. That's straight ahead following the update. Here is our latest sports update, and here's Marco Belletti.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Time to ask Amy anything. Sort of.
Hit me with your best shot.
All right. out. What could possibly go wrong?
You have an amazing segment like you did last time.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. Good morning to you. It is the Hump Show. And since we're halfway through the work week, we like to mix it up a little bit. We've been taking your questions on both of our social media sites, and Manny has written them out by hand. He says he's got the best and the brightest, and he's ready to go. And I'm just going to take his word for it. I trust you.
Shall we get it going?
Yes.
All righty. All righty. First question for you, Miss Amy. Summer or winter?
Winter.
Ice cream on a hot day or hot chocolate on a cold day?
Ooh, now see, that's tough because winter is one of my favorite seasons, and I do love anything to do with chocolate. Mm. How about this? Ice cream on a cold day.
Chocolate ice cream on a cold day. That's the answer you want to give.
There we go.
What words in the English language do you find humorous?
Specimen. Foci.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Isn't that a good one?
That's a good one. What about these words?
Well, they just are odd sounding. Also, they might make you giggle. Specimen.
Any words that you hate?
Need a specimen. I'm sure there are words that I hate that I just can't come up with right now. I hate LOL. Does that count?
No, that's an acronym.
It doesn't?
I need words.
Okay, let me think about that. Circle back to it.
I will tell you, I'll give you a little taste. Michael Samter.
I hate the word producer.
Producer,
I'm just kidding.
I'm just teasing. Michael Samter, a producer of the Zach Gelb Show, one of his least favorite words is moist. So do what you wish with that information.
I wish I didn't know that, but okay.
Rank these deadlines: MLB, NFL, NBA, NHL.
NHL is kind of a wah-wah-wah. I mean, there are moves that are made, but it doesn't really resonate a ton. NBA trade deadline is kind of softer. You don't see a lot of movement that's made. It's very different than baseball. Baseball, I'll put it number two. NFL, number one, simply, even though it's not used a lot, even so, it's the NFL. And any little move that's made could upset the entire apple cart and set the world on fire. So I'll go football, number one.
I had a picture of blank on my bedroom growing up.
On my bedroom wall?
On my bedroom wall, yes.
Okay, gotcha. Well, the Celtics starting five in the late 80s, early 90s. So that would be Larry Bird, Robert Parrish, Kevin McHale, Danny Ainge, and Dennis Johnson. So that was one. Also, but loved cats. I mean, I love pets, but I had a couple of posters of cats. One sleeping in a pot, like a flower pot.
Oh, yeah.
And something about, you know, pieces wherever you lay your head to, you know, wherever you lay your head, wherever you take a nap. But then another one that I actually still have, it's up in my kitchen, and it's got, you know, the holes from all the different push pins that I put up. Yep. But it's one of my favorites. It's a green forest, but in the middle of the green forest is a white birch. So it stands out. It's very stark. And this is something my mom used to tell me when I was a kid. So it really matters to me. To be different is often a wonderful thing. I was never like all the other kids. I'm still not like all the other kids. So that was something my mom would always tell me when I would cry because I just didn't really fit in anywhere. To be different is often a wonderful thing.
Everybody loves a little uniqueness. It's funny, though, real
quick. Not when you're a kid, you don't.
But yeah, that's...
When you're a kid, when you're a teenager, you actually do not want to stand out, I think, a lot of times.
You grow to understand what uniqueness really is. Very quickly, I also work at NBA Radio. I remember my first interaction with Kevin McHale. He called in as a caller. He listens to the radio station, so I pick up the phone.
That's awesome.
NBA Radio. Yeah, I'd like to talk to the people. Sure, what's your name? Kevin McHale. Kevin, you mean the former Boston Celtic and the NBA executive? Yeah, that guy, yeah. Okay, yeah, sure. I thought it was a prank. I told my producer, I was like, hey, are we expecting Kevin McHale? Yeah, he'll call in from time to time. So, yeah, Kevin McHale, that was nice, just listening to the radio in his car. All righty. Brandon Patterson on Twix, King B 8846. What event in the Olympics would you like to try and do?
Oh, gosh. Well, I love to swim, but I'm not a good swimmer. I mean, I'm a good swimmer, but I'm not a fast swimmer. So that would be kind of pie in the sky. I'm 5'11", almost. 5'11 in shoes, so I definitely wouldn't be a gymnast. Let's see. Trying to think what I would, I mean, basketball would be amazing. That'd be a lot of fun. Golf would be tremendous. Although I haven't noticed that golf's gotten any kind of, at this point, any kind of publicity.
I've seen Scottie Scheffler around once or twice.
Yeah, he's been caught on camera there in Paris. Let's see, what would fit me? I don't know, I'm kind of rough and tumble. Maybe rugby, now that it's gaining steam and popularity. Just, I feel like you'd be always bruised.
Yeah, I saw one of the players during the bronze medal game.
Mountain biking.
I just looked at her thigh. It was just on the TV screen, and it looked bruised. It was bruised. It looked like somebody scratched their cleat up onto her thigh, and it was just bruised. I digress. Would you rather vacation in the Alps or in Mykonos?
The Alps. I love mountains.
So you're rather... a little snow, little skiing trip rather than a beach
trip? Well, even if I don't ski, I love the mountains and I would love to see the Alps. I'm a big fan of snow anywhere.
The song I am currently obsessed with is...
Oh, actually, you know what? It came from the new Twister soundtrack. Can't Take the Home Out of Oklahoma. It's, don't tell me. I'll remember. Oh, it's Lainey. It's, what's her name? Okay, hold on. Can't Take the Home Out of Oklahoma.
Wasn't the guy from Hamilton in that movie?
Oh, Lainey Wilson. She's a country music singer. She's terrific. And the song is awesome.
Anthony Ramos is in that movie, right? The guy who was, in Hamilton?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All righty. Pancakes or waffles?
Pancakes. With pure New Hampshire maple syrup.
Pure New Hampshire. That's it. Nothing else. None of that other garbage. What was the last movie that made you cry?
Oh, gosh, I cried every movie. I'm a real emotional girl, so I do cry at a lot of movies. What did I most recently see? Actually, I might have cried during Twisters. There's a couple of, like, emotional scenes, like her with her mom when she goes back home after a long period of time. What else have I seen recently? I didn't cry during Greyhound. Not that one. Trying to think. I've cried during TV shows. Well, I cried during the Olympics. I get all teary-eyed over the family reunions and that kind of stuff. I think I actually did get teary during Twisters, though.
Mark Barnstein on Facebook, he asks, what's your favorite based on a true story sports movie?
The Rookie in baseball. Remember Dennis Quaid,
yeah,
The Rookie?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Uh-huh. That one probably. Love that. Although The Natural is really good, too, but they've taken a lot of liberties with it.
I like Remember the Titans.
Yep, that's awesome.
I love
as well.
That movie.
Rudy. How about Rudy?
Rudy. Oh, such great movies. Also, The Longest Yard. Love that. Sushi or Korean barbecue?
I don't like sushi, so Korean barbecue. I love fish. I love seafood, but I do not like it raw. So no sushi for me.
How do you like your meat cooked?
I mean, we're talking about a burger. Yeah. I'll go medium rare.
All right, how about steak?
Steak, I would go slightly pink, so depending upon if it's medium, medium rare. But I do love barbecue, and Korean barbecue is delicious.
Oh, is it ever. Of all the stadiums I visited, my favorite is?
Wow, that's tough to narrow down. I mean, Wrigley Field was amazing. Fenway Park's amazing. I love PNC Park, too, in Pittsburgh. I'm trying to think of one that's not baseball, but generally baseball is my favorite. Gallagher Iba Arena at Oklahoma State rocks. It's really great too for football. Well, for basketball, I mean, just because you're right on top of the court.
Something that you
Talladega also an amazing.
I would love to
visit.
Go.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Something that you hated as a kid that you now love as an adult.
Beats.
Right off the bat. Didn't
Weirdly
even have
enough,
to think about that.
Isn't that crazy? Because my mom, when we were younger, didn't have a lot of money. So we ate a lot of canned goods, canned vegetables, and pickled beets were one of my mom's favorites. And I could not stand them. I would sit there at the table for hours because I wasn't allowed to get up until I ate them. But I like fresh beets. Fresh beets on salad, roasted beets. That's delicious. But it took me years to even try them because I was traumatized by pickled beets as a child.
The TV channel that is on at my house the most is?
A good question. NFL Network, probably. Fox News would be another one.
How about non-sports / news related?
Oh, TNT. They're constantly doing Star Wars marathons. But honestly, if you're asking me about what we watch a lot of stuff on Amazon Prime. So a lot of different series on Prime and
TV
binge stuff.
TV channels. Your producer, how old is he? He must be in the 50s. TV channels. Everything is on streaming nowadays. My favorite type of cake is?
Well, I do love chocolate cake, chocolate layer cake. But if you're asking me about desserts, I'm not a huge cake fan. I'm more pies or cookies.
Give me your favorite pie.
Oh, coconut cream pie.
Not even a discussion.
This is how I knew I was supposed to marry my husband, because his favorite pie is coconut cream pie.
Oh.
Isn't that obscure? And we both have, at the time, both had Australian Shepherd dogs.
Do you guys cook together?
We do, all the time.
And what's...
We take turns.
What's your favorite... Okay, you guys take turns.
Yeah.
What's his
he
best
grills.
Deal?
Oh, what, he grills. He's amazing.
What's his best dish?
Anything on the grill.
Oh, yeah.
Steak, fish, chicken. He's cooked venison on the grill, or grilled venison for me, vegetables. Yeah, he's the grill master.
All right, I think we've got time for perhaps just one more. Who was your favorite teacher and why?
Oh, this question's been asked of me before, but not for a really long time. When I was in school, first of all, I loved history. And so Mrs. Dumas was my history teacher, and she was so kind, really funny, learned a lot from her. But my favorite class was accounting. This is back before I decided that I wanted to work in radio. And my accounting teacher was Mrs. McMeachin. And I took accounting as an eighth grader with a bunch of juniors and seniors. They let me in because I got good grades, and I was really out of my element, but I was good at accounting and loved it, and it left brain. It just fit me perfectly. And so accounting was something that I loved, and she made me feel comfortable in a class where I was with mostly high schoolers. So yes, Mrs. McMeachin and Mrs. Dumas. Also loved Mrs. Noyce was my writing teacher, my English teacher in high school too. So she was terrific. And then when I was at Syracuse, I had a mentor who had previously worked in cable news himself. And he was awesome. His name was Don Johnson, believe it or not. And so, yeah, he was just phenomenal, and was one who encouraged me to get started in this business and believed in me before I could believe in myself. So those are a few that made a major impact on me. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.